Yeah, you were better than me at that part before, but after I played the super seducer, so everyone go
look at this gun, proper shotgun that you can just throw out. It's actually legal. It's made of plastic. Pretty cool.
awesome. So this is Curtis, everyone. I met Curtis. It was weird, Curtis. Like, I met him through a person who was helping me fix my G-Wagon. Ended up that mechanic found out he sold coke and he's a drug dealer. But the good thing is he introduced me to Curtis. That's the win I got out of it.
Yeah, and actually I thought you were his son. Why? Because you named Andy, and he put a name like Young Andy. I thought he was calling his son. So yeah, this is a bit awkward.
And his name was Andy as well. So I thought it was meant to be, but he was a drug dealer and he was trying to f*** me over. Not really, but he was just like holding onto my G-Wagon for just way too long. So I met Curtis in, I think, Beverly Hills. We just ate, I think it was like kebabs or something, met him. And then I think that morning or something, I was like, yo, like, I find out he has like a boat and everything. And I'm like, who the hell is this guy? And then he was just a super chill dude. Do you remember that first meeting, Curtis?
Yeah, I remember. We were both a bit nervous. Yeah, meeting for the first time, but later we know each other pretty well and we realize each other like pretty chill.
One thing I like really like about you, Curtis, is like you're just really down to earth and chill. Like, oh dude, it's crazy. So like if we go through our WeChat messages, every day Curtis is sending me like crazy stuff. Like actually, another thing, Curtis has this group chat he invited me called Curtis's Clubhouse or something. And it's this group chat of like 100+ people. And it's like all of Curtis's friends, everyone's talking Chinese. Some people talk English and I'm just in there. I'm like, oh, what's this group about? But it's just like a group chat of all his friends.
So when you were added into the group chat, did you, cause you can't, you're Vietnamese, aren't you, Andy? Yeah, you're Vietnamese. Can you understand or read or write Chinese?
Can't. I'm just like a spectator in the group chat. I'm a spectator. I'm just like, maybe I learned that WeChat can do this thing where you can translate things to English. So I need to do that more often. Yeah. But yeah, Curtis has like all these different group chats I'm a part of.
I love that. I've never heard of anything like that, not gonna lie. What's the whole thought process behind that? I'm like, Andy, maybe you should try and do something similar. Andy Clubhouse, Andy end up on WhatsApp.
Yeah,
you know?
What made you put it together, Curtis?
Okay. Yeah, here's the thing. One thing I realized when I'm making progress, like I have to synchronize with every single person a lot of time. Like I'm just start with sending this, sending my exciting little progress to Andy, and then I forward it to other people. So eventually I realized, I just put it in the group chat. That's super easy. I just send it to group chat. Much easier. So everyone knows what I'm doing, what's all about me. So yeah.
You know what it is as well, because like, from memory, China don't allow Facebook or Instagram, is that correct? They don't allow, right. Yeah, so if anything, right. it's just a way of like having a story, as in an Instagram story, like not per se by sharing a photo, but just by updating or just like, you know, sharing updates. But I guess it's a little bit more intimate in the sense that it's a message and you're sharing progress updates as well. But yeah, I like the idea. I fuck with the idea. But going on to how you two met. So you mentioned to us a little bit earlier that you're based in Shenzhen, Shenzhen at the moment. So you would have, I think, Andy, the mechanic problems that you remember you telling me about maybe 1 year ago, maybe earlier this year. Late last year, so is that around the right timeline? I'm trying to gather.
Yeah, let's see. Probably near the beginning of this year, beginning of 2021, February. That's sort of when I got the car.
Okay.
So I think that's when I met Curtis.
You were in Sydney at that time. Now you're in China. So yeah, just talk to us about it a little bit of what you do. You know, are you based in China? Are you based in Sydney? The move, the differences. Yeah, talk to us.
Okay, I guess the two worlds are like two parallel universe, this alternative universe that just exists in on this world. Like I feel my life is so much different, like what I'm in China. I'm super unused to the lifestyle here in China, but you get to meet people every day. People come to me, like try to set up appointment with you. And you can even call people like after 12 p.m. Like people, like in especially in Shenzhen, they're waiting for you to call them. Like they're just standby 24/7. Whereas Sydney, after 6, no friend. Do you want to go out, have a beer? No, sorry, I'll just stay home and chill with my girlfriend, probably next day. Yeah, pretty laid back. And yeah, the lifestyle in general is pretty different. I think in here, it's more about entrepreneurship and also innovation. Of course, in places like this, I've been to the Silicon Valley, just as Andy as well. Andy used to did like a startup company for Med, right? For Med apps. That's in Silicon Valley. I think I went to Silicon Valley, it was back in 2018. And we went there for investment opportunity to seek for ICO back then. It was a pretty huge thing. And I felt like every entrepreneur there just tried to like, they talk about a bunch of crazy idea and as if there's all about changing the world, like revolutionize the financial industry and blah, blah, blah. So yeah, the vibe is pretty similar to that in Silicon Valley compared to here in Shenzhen. And of course, like in such very competitive environment, you get to know a lot of scammers. I've been through all those shitty people like scam me, and yeah, I'm still here, like surviving. And especially in crypto, yeah, if you know more, like you know. Yeah.
So how long have you been based in Shenzhen for? Or were you like in Sydney for a holiday, or have you always been in Sydney, or did you move recently? Or
I was in Sydney for 2 years for a study, university study, major in computer science and financial math. I can't understand any of it, like calculus and linear algebra, all that kind of shit. It's crazy.
That's one thing that like I sort of didn't understand was, before, like in 2017, you did crypto, you did all these companies. What made you want to fly to Australia and then stay in Australia for 2 years?
Yeah, I had to. I didn't want to go for university. I thought crypto is enough for me. I think crypto is a big thing that's going to change the world. That's my faith back then, like 4 years ago. But back in 2017 and 18, especially after the peak, everything wasn't running pretty smoothly. And, you know, the index wasn't going up. I couldn't have enough reason to persuade my parents. So yeah, they made me have to go. So shortly after I finished my last ICO project, which is an online educational platform in crypto, pretty similar to CMIT. And then I head to Australia.
And then Curtis, what's the difference from the market near the end of the 2017 sort of bull run versus now? Because now, is it stagnant or is it hot now?
I think it's pretty hot. Like I feel it's 10 times hotter than before. And I mean, there's a like very famous theory. It's called the curve of adaptation. And there's a KOL called Willy Wu. He mentioned that like to now this stage, it's around 5%. So if 5% of like total population adaptation. So if you compare it to internet, so like 4 years ago, it's probably internet back in 2000, and now it's internet at 2006. So it's still a bunch of opportunity. And if you learn deep enough nowadays, so about crypto, it already developed a very sophisticated structure on how to store and transfer value onto the blockchain. So yeah, the basics of consensus on currency, no matter what currency it is, it's to store value. No matter, it doesn't matter whether the value goes up and down or not. Yeah.
Now Curtis, how did you end up being so chill? Every time when I'm on WeChat, every single Chinese person, there's like a bunch of cars, they're like shirtless flexing in the gym, or there's like a Rolex as their profile photo, and you're just this chill dude. You have like a photo of you and your dog, And I've always known you as like this really down-to-earth person. How did you get that personality despite of being surrounded by wealth?
Yeah, I think Australia taught me that. Like, I mean, the way of life, my happiness is irrelevant to the money I make. Like, there's so many times was when I was just at the sunset on my boat with my girlfriend and my cute little husky called Hero. And I was just feeling like I'm living in a movie. And that's exactly how I felt back then when I was in Sydney. And I feel like I'm just so happy and so grateful to be at this present moment. And yeah, I believe it's all the past choices that made me to this stage and got me to this higher level insight. I think if you're in like, if I haven't been to Australia and haven't had all this experience, I might not think it through this clearly. Yeah.
Interesting. Another thing I wanted to ask is every day, right now you're starting a new company, so you're burning a lot of investment. How do you not be stressed? Like over the last few months, like I'm burning like $1,000 a day and I'm like, every day I get stressed, but then that's nothing compared to the amount you're burning on a daily basis. So how do you stay sane? Yeah. Like that's something I'm struggling with.
Okay. I think, I understand your difficulty on how to cheer yourself up like in such environment, because you're like mostly have your team remotely, right? You outsource a lot of people from Philippines because the labor is a very good price. But you don't have someone around you to cheer you up. So I work very closely with my employee to solve the tiny puzzles. And like I know in and out every structures that we're working on. So that I think that's the thing. One aspect that gives me the confidence that I'm just, it's gonna work. And also I've been, even in Australia, I have like 4 entrepreneurial like startup experience already, like doing business no matter like what size. So I used to have like 1 container of e-bike that I shipped to Australia. It was tons of stress. That's the least of money I made. Andy seen that e-bike, super heavy. And it's actually rolled illegal, but we made them legal because, not made them illegal, but we managed to clear the custom and everything and land it into Australia. I spent 4 months. Eventually, to sell it all, eventually we sold it to Easy and also Panda Express. Is that called Panda Express? So the 2 Asian food delivery company in Australia. Yeah.
So it was Christian,
tons of stress.
We know like a lot of people who just talk about a ton of different businesses, but when Curtis talks about a ton, he's done them all. And like, I think he's like actually done them all, like put in money. A lot of them probably hasn't worked out as he wanted to, but he got a bunch of experience. Like a lot of people talk, but Curtis, you actually do.
Yeah, so going off that as well, so you mentioned, you know, you tried so many different things, you know, like, and then do you feel like, are you, at the moment, you're running your own business, you're doing your own thing, right? Did you work in a corporate environment before you started to do all this, or have you always just been jumping from project to project? Do you feel like the one that you're on now is like set ho, you know, the one that's going to take you to the moon? Well, like, what do you reckon?
I think, I never worked in a real corporate environment before and only had like I think most of my experience are as investor or project starter, startup founder. So I kind of know the psyche of like investor and also as a project founder. So I actually worked for a month. That's actually literally my first experience working in a crypto project. That project is called Bagels Finance. They did pretty well. And you can search their Twitter. I think they got 60K followers now. And I was in charge of the overseas marketing operation. Yeah, I worked for a month and it actually taught me a lot, that experience. So after a month, I felt, that's enough. I should move on and do my own thing. So I went back and started this PandaBox company. Yeah.
Yeah, like I was like really surprised. Like, I remember Curtis went back in China and he gave me a call and it was like a 9 to 5. It was like 9 to 7 PM or something. So we'd be going on the train, driving back home. We'll talk in the afternoons. But then he learned so much. One, that's another thing I respected about you, Curtis. You didn't have an ego where you didn't mind just going and getting a job for a month to learn. And then when you were ready, you went ahead and just like scaled out Panda Box. And another thing is like, Curtis, where did you get that like curiosity from? You're like a really curious person. He's always testing different things, different supplements, different liquids, and doing different things every day. and like every day, Curtis sends these videos. It's like, hey guys, so today I'm playing Secret Super Seducer, and he's going over a scenario on how to get like a prostitute's or pole dancer's number. It's so funny. I love watching these. It's like, I just love it.
I also gain a lot of experience playing all these games like of different kinds. I feel it's actually a metaverse. Metaverse is actually live and exist in our current society already, with all those very good graphic design. And yeah, it takes a lot of work and money to put, like say, a Battlefield Royale, a Battlefield 5 together. Yeah, it's a masterpiece. So
on that topic,
try to play this.
Curtis is like a genius. He does this thing where he's like, hey Andy, so today I'm eating lunch. And then he was like considering editing the first part, changing it to, hey John, hey Sam, and just resend the video to like 10 different people. To have like personalized like videos. So I'm watching that, I'm like, am I just one of like 20 people who sends this to? But like, that's pretty smart, Curtis. That's really smart.
Because you told me like I could be a very good vlogger, because I feel like there's a lot of part of my life that's worth filming, and I have it's a worth of sharing lifestyle. And I feel a lot of time I feel like I'm doing something good. Like I'm really proud of what I'm doing, and also like to share. I'm a really talkative person, and so Andy gave me this inspiration to like, oh, why don't you start like brand yourself, start filming yourself every day? Oh, I said, yeah, why not? And I started with just sending to Andy. And later I realized there's always people come to me and I'll just forward it to others, but it doesn't feel very personalized enough. I made the first part, hello, Andy. And just cut out, leave that first part and do another video and forward it to the other people. So yeah, it evolved into a group chat you see nowadays.
Dude, that's actually like, you're actually like an innovator. Like, I think I might, like what Christian said, might just create a WhatsApp group chat called Andy's Club and invite everyone in my contacts and just share random things to it. But at the same time, like, it's like, I think Curtis just doesn't, you have like this self-confidence where you just don't care about what people think. Like, there's this video of Curtis, he's like in a robe and there's like James Bond music and he's just like walking around and he does that and I'm just laughing. And he posted it on his WeChat sort of wall. Like you really have this confidence, Curtis. Like, what's your biggest tip for that actually? Yeah. Because that's something I admire for you as well.
Okay, find a girlfriend who can cheer you up. Like,
he tells me that all the time.
I've been always talking about this. Like, yeah, find a woman. Like, you. So if you can work as my girlfriend now works as my, like, I have two private assistants, one for company, one for my private life. So one of them is my girlfriend, and she arranged a bit of everything, helping out the company and also cheer me up. So, you know, there's a lot of time when you're alone, like even though you're doing something right, you just don't feel motivated enough, especially in this lockdown scenario in Australia. And you definitely need someone that's on, first of all, on the same frequency, but every one of you, like just like say if you have a girlfriend and you're not feeling down at the same time. So always you can cheer her up and she will cheer you up. That energy will just keep you always on the positive positive loop. Yeah, that gradually reinforce you into something greater. Yeah.
Another like thing that I really like, the reason why I really like just talking to Curtis is because we're like on a similar frequency. Where I might just send him random things like my 90-year life chart, where each like box is 1 week, and he would like totally get it. Where I'll send it to other people, but they'll be like, "What the f-?" But like, and Curtis sends me random shit. He like the simulator, the like girl simulator, and all these random ideas. And it was like the first time where I would like talk to someone that's like near my age or even older, where I could just send random ideas to. Like, I'm always just saying random shit to Curtis, and he sort of just gets it. And I think that's something that I haven't found in many people. Do you agree, Curtis? Or yeah, what's your thoughts?
Okay, initially I feel like your conversation technique is better than me, and I gradually catch up. I feel like, you know, there's a lots of pattern that you can use, even though, you know, there's at one point you couldn't keep the conversation going, and you can, yeah, you were better than me at that part before, but after I played the super seducer, so everyone go play the super seducer.
Is this game? Is this a Chinese game or is it just a regular game?
Is this white guy in long hair with a beard teaching you how to pick up girls? Actually, you explain it, Curtis. It's so funny.
I'm looking at it now. So Super Seducer, How to Talk to Girls. It's on Steam. So, wow, there's like bonus videos. A player's try to... What? Is the world's most realistic seduction simulator. It puts you in everyday scenarios such as a coffee shop, an office, or a bar, and it lets you do practically whatever you want to see how it plays out with beautiful women. As you make moves, so the guy, Richard LaRuna, provides you with feedback. Oh my God, this is...
Yeah, and the best thing about this game is actually it provides like the view from a female perspective as well. So like, yeah, it's pretty useful that you know. Yeah.
Dude, there was afternoon where I was just FaceTiming Curtis on WeChat, and he like just set me up on like a tripod, and I was just watching him play Battlefield for like 10 minutes. Like, that's sometimes our calls. I might just like call him, and I'm just watching him play Battlefield for a while, and he's just like commentating. But yeah, dude, Curtis, something I found is I can't stand unless I'm talking and I'm distracted. I can't stand for more than 30 minutes. Like, I feel like I'm like physically weak now. Like, I can't do like manual labor. If I was like asked to be like a bricklayer, I think I'd be like, I'm not used to that anymore. Like, I'm physically weak. Okay. I think.
Do you do exercise? Don't you do bicycle?
Yeah, I do some. This is legit some of our conversations, Christians. I might just say something random and he starts giving me advice on it. But yeah, I do exercise. But I don't know why it doesn't help me stand. Like, I get tired after standing. I don't know.
How often do you fab? Stand? Oh.
So like, you played this Super Seducer game. When did you stop playing it? Did you have a missus, a girlfriend before you started playing it, or after? Like, would you recommend it to those listening?
After I was playing my girlfriend as well. I've been in a stable relationship for like 3-4 years now. 3 years. So I was sitting in my office, like my girlfriend just sitting next to me, and we were just selecting. Oh, what should we speak now? And we have this like really good little talk. And oh, if I were you, I should say this, that kind of stuff. So. Yeah, pretty fun. I try to include her in every part of my life. Like, not every, like, but the necessary part.
Curtis, how come, like, sometimes, like, dude, on his group chat, 130 people, he sent a story. Zoe sent me to the wrong McDonald's. He was venting on the group chat or something. Tell me about that. I was like, what the hell are you doing, Curtis?
Oh, I think that's on the smaller group, venture capital group. There's only 9 people, so I spend like more private stuff on there. Like, I know what's appropriate to speak in like 100 people group. Yeah,
that's true.
My girlfriend like, yeah, I was trying to be humorous, like sarcastic, and I was, She parked my car at the like 10 or 15 minutes walk, where it's supposed to be like a 1 minute away, McDonald's. Yeah, I'm very used to having Macca's, and the Macca's here in China is better than the Macca's in Aussie. For breakfast. Yeah.
So what's the plan, Curtis? What's the plan over the next 12 months, you reckon?
Yeah, it's just a panic box. So we're just gradually setting everything up. So everyone now is just working behind at the main office. And yeah, also I'm starting a VC, but I'm not the lead. I'm a general partner of that VC in Shanghai. We're doing first venture round of venture capital as a micro venture capital. So the definition of micro venture capital, the investment is normally ranging starting from 25 grand max to starting from 25 grand and max to 200 to 500 grand. So that's the definition of micro VC. So for the bigger VC, they could have tons of money to invest in the A round, B round. So we're not going to do that. We're just going to focus on the seeding stage of blockchain startup.
Okay, yeah. So you'd be looking at essentially investing in entities around the blockchain or crypto?
Not is it just entity. Anything? Yeah. It's token. Just token. It's not entities.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Tokens. Okay. Yeah, see, I have no idea about any of this. So that's very interesting to hear. So did you start this up with a group of friends, or has this always been something that you've been wanting to do in China? Or?
Yeah, I've always been wanting to be a professional investor. I used to be you can call it like a unprofessional angel investor. And it cost me a lot. It took me a lot to get this opportunity to gather five very interesting, very talented people. The guy who started this, he's Top Fox, and he worked in Silicon Valley for 10, 20 years. You know, as a CTO, he used to work in Google, Intel, and the previous company he worked in went public, I think it's do auto driving electric car. So he's very experienced in managing team, and he also has the same enthusiasm for the crypto industry. So he started this Silver Fox Fund, and we're now just preparing everything. We now have an office, a house. We rented a house where we're going to stay, sleep, and work together in Shanghai. Yeah.
Curtis, is your head going to explode? Because you're doing so much. You have the panda box. You have the fun.
Yeah.
You're messaging me. Yeah. You're setting up a group chat. There's there's the D-travel. There's so much going on. Dude, this morning when I got your message about how you're disappointed with the video, the teammate, I could feel the not anxiety, but you're a bit on edge. How do you stay stable, I guess? Or
Mm-hmm. I think write things down first. We have this whiteboard. We have this glass made wall where you can write onto it, where I can write down the structure of my company, what needs to be done now. And also I even have e-ink blackboard on the office of my door. So I can deal with know what to focus on and what can only be done by me. So as a CEO, you probably know that you need to know the whole structure, and also you need to give the right resources to your employee. And that's the main thing we do. I do feel bit stressed before when I first started this panda box, because I didn't know whether it's going to work out or not. But later, when I put my feet on the ground and start working on the details and start to do market research, I realized this is a huge opportunity. So yeah, and the more you do, and also you know clearly about the roadmap and everything, the more confidence you will have in the thing that you're doing on. Yeah.
Curtis, something that happened recently was I have a sales manager who's been growing the sales team.
Yeah.
I sort of let him do his thing over the last 6 months, sort of gave him all the resources that he needed. And over the last 6 months, it's grown, but we couldn't get it to be profitable. And, you know, I would be giving advice. I'll be analyzing the data and telling him what to do. They just wouldn't get profitable. So over the last week, I've had to jump back in, go over all the resources, go over the script. I'm going to personally jump on calls again and start doing sales calls. And then what that taught me sort of was like, one, how do I get a manager that can do it himself and get results? Or do I always have to jump in because I'm the leader, I'm the CEO, I know what would work. What's your thoughts there?
Yeah, I don't think you need to jump in for every single on the execution level, but you need to standardize everything. You need to create a pattern. That's what we do. Like most of my time or spend, like tell my employee to do, say, what's a frequently asked question about our product, our miners. And we put that into a pattern. We start, gather patterns. And like after a while, you will have a standardized procedure where employee just copy and paste and exactly according to your will. So yeah, I think you need to identify those patterns that's really repetitive and make it automated procedure that you can just hand over to employees. Just stick with this menu, stick with this pattern, and then everything will work.
Yeah. When your employee makes the frequently asked questions, will it go through you for you to review it, or will it go directly to the website? Do you review everything?
I review most of the documents in my office, and we don't post much frequently asked question on our website. Not much, we still have some, but you know, we're in a seller's market. As long as you have miners on stock, you're not begging people to buy your miner. Because that's the entire attitude I've been trying to convey to my employee. Now that they know, because we look on the blockchain tracking record, and also our peers' transaction data. Yeah, it's all from some of them are public, but some of them are like private data. So yeah, they now have the confidence. There's everyone just work. So we're supposed to finish at 7, but I think for the past, and now it's called Zhongqiu. I don't know, it's a moon festival. Yeah, it is a moon festival or something. We're supposed to rest, and everyone just staying here work. Not for free. And they work to 9, sometimes 9-10. We didn't ask them to do so, but yeah, I think as a team, you need to have the same kind of energy level. You need to be very motivated. I don't ask this, you want the rules, you want the incentive, and you want the company structure to have a really good incentive to incentivize your employee, not just like you're just giving inspirational speech that you need to give them every single morning. That's not the way it works. Yeah. Nice.
Another thing I've been working on is, this is basically like a consulting session with Curtis. I've been, over the last probably month, like this year, I've sort of figured out how to get like a good routine, good momentum. Now I've been working on like figuring out myself. Like, I went over the last few days, I've been organizing all these old photos from like 2014, 15, and I was like a little kid, and I was like this confused little kid, and I still think I'm sort of still there, where I'm like, I still haven't fully found myself, and I'm starting to figure out what I like, what I don't, but it's still this weird, uncomfortable journey, because like you would watch someone who's like really confident and extrovert, and you think that's someone who's figured it out. But I think that you can be someone that's like silent and introverted and be yourself as well. What's your thoughts, Curtis? Have you thought about that at all?
I think the main thing is that keep yourself happy. Like, I mean, I think people like, I used to think like people living in very remote area and say like Philippines, you know, those really poor cattle where they just have to eat the garbage from the city, and but you can't tell, like, because you never been through that life, and you can't tell whether they're happy or not. as long as they're happy, I think it's good. I think the main thing you need to do, just maybe find a routine to keep yourself happy. And I recently bought this. I feel like I'm just trying to advertise every single thing that I have, like this Xiaomi wristband, the latest one. It's for $50, $60 something. It has a really cool function. And this wristband not only tracks your sleeping data, and also it has a cool function of meditation. So I don't use it before I sleep because it's normally really quiet, but I use it while I'm outside where it's a very noisy environment. I had to I don't have to wear like a noise canceling headset all the time, but I use this function. It's called, not sure if you can see, it's called breathing. It's actually a meditation. You put, you press and you can select the time you're going to meditating, and then it gives you a tiny little graphic, and you just need to breathe out with this little tiny circle. I think that calmed me down. And that's also, it's very similar to going free diving, where you just really stay really present, really focused. And it's pretty good. It's a good practice.
Christian, Curtis is crazy. He learned how to free dive and breathe for like 2-3 minutes from watching YouTube videos. How long can you not breathe for, Curtis? How long can you hold your breath for?
Two minutes. So if it is static dead, everyone can do it as long as with a right procedure. But I can only hold my breath for 1 minute under the water when I'm moving around. Yeah.
I love it.
And then like you learn how to like drive your boat and like attach it to your car on YouTube as well, didn't you?
Yeah. I learned a lot of things from YouTube. Like I recently watched a Vice documentary about Ghost Gun. I'm a huge fan of Gun. And recently they have, with all those 3D modeling very mature, and also 3D printing really mature. Now there's a company called Ghost Gunner in America, Texas. They produce this desktop CNC, which is used to cut metal, where you can order like a 80% finish, like military level printout, and put it into your ghost gunner and make a ghost gun that nobody would know. And it's 100, I'm not sure if it's legal, but it's legal in some state. So I ordered that one that I supposed to receive in the next, second quarter of next year. So it's a desktop level CNC. So if you check the price, it's only $2,500 US dollar. But compared to the industrial grade ones, is they're really heavy and huge machine. They normally cost $20,000. So it's a huge crazy progress.
Because I know like in New York, you can't own a gun. Like you can't, it's weird. You can't own a gun. If you own a gun, you'll go jail. So apparently there's these guys who make these things that are not gun. It's like for example, it's like a table weight, or it's like something for decoration, but it works like a gun, but it's like legal. And they'll sell those for like tens of thousands. It's like a gun, not gun.
Yeah.
I just Googled the Ghost Gunner 3. So what you ordered is you ordered something that allows you to manufacture correct me if I'm wrong, firearms with military grade firearms from like your desk. You just have it in your desk and you can 3D print an AR rifle for yourself. Is that what it is?
What is it called? What's the company called again?
Ghost Gunner. Ghost Gunner. So it says here it's 500 USD. I might be looking
at that's a deposit.
Oh, right. Yeah. So it allows you to do AR. Wow. My God. And then so you do that, and then, oh my God, how are you going to get it shipped to China? Do they ship to China, or do they?
They do. It's a printer. It's a CNC.
Yeah.
It's not a gun. So,
yeah, that's true. It just essentially allows you to do that. And you showed us that you have a plastic, what was it? Was that an AK or what that you pulled out?
It's a shotgun. It throws out rubber bullet.
Yeah. So when you get this Ghost Gunner 3, say, would you like print out an AR and then put rubber bullets inside it as well, or just...
No, you can't put rubber bullets. I think if you order those a printer, you need to also order the 80% finish model from them as well. So not sure well they'll be able to ship into China, but I have another use for this CNC, which is to print our 3D printed model. I'll grab one actually. That's actually where we started our product. Okay, real quick.
Curtis, what social media do you use? How do you find about all these random things?
Yeah, because I've never heard about this before. I'm like, what is this Ghost Gunner?
Like, Curtis is like similar to us, where he's like weirdly into these things. Like, he's really into sound and music, and he will know everything about headphones and different speakers. I wouldn't be surprised if he's into like keyboards, and he's like into cars. He's into all these weird niche topics. Yeah.
So this is our industrial grade mining container, panda box, 3D printed, minuscule version. So it's a 24 container, and we have this certificate from U.S. government, so we can label that in China and ship to America. So you can see the inside. So just racks. And our industrial grade exhaust fan and water curtain on the other side. Yeah. And that's all about it. And also those containers can only, so for one 40 foot container, that's the largest you can get as a sea shipment. You can only put two of those. It's 20 foot container. And the reason why we chose 20 foot feet container is that, so the normal rating for a forklift is 3.5 ton, and one of those weighs 3 ton. So if we manufacture a 44 container, it will be overweight for a normal forklift. So with all with these, you can keep one side open, and there's a tiny mechanism at the bottom where you can just hatch two containers together, make it a large one, and it can also be put on top, so that make a second floor. So yeah, it's an extendable modular mining infrastructure.
Yeah, Curtis, for people who don't know, explain Panda Box. I forgot to explain Panda Box for people who don't know, my bad.
Yeah, I was just like wondering as to what Panda Box is, et cetera. So like just from your explanation, are you doing like shipping containers or is it?
Mostly, so we are a one-stop mining solution provider for the entire crypto mining industry. So we are the ultimate source, like, because we're so close to the manufacturer of all mining rig, mining case, the manufacturer side, and that, for two. So there are two investors of us. There were our supply chain manager, not supply chain manager, the supply chain partner. They're also our investor. They're the source production company for the smaller mining case, which is the mining platform, just motherboard plus fans plus PSU power supply. That's all, and we have the cases supply and the power supplies is manufactured as our supply chain partner as well. And we recently developing. I think it's already developed. I think it's close to delivery time already. Ant Miner S19, which is the latest models, its power supply. That they have like an encryption on its power wall. So we had to hire engineering team on the software to deal with the power supply to make it work with the latest miner. Yeah.
Curtis, how come the manufacturers don't get into crypto mining themselves?
They are in crypto mining themselves. You know, one of our supply chain partners made I think this year, $2 million something, or even more, just because like four years ago, I told him about, because long ago, he had a friend who told him to join in the crypto revolution, back then the Ponzi revolution. And his friend couldn't persuade him. So just this random chance that this guy went to my desk's office, and my desk said, "Oh, there's another guy doing factory. He's in crypto. Come explain her. Like, come talk with him." And I explained her, explained to him what's Ethereum, what's smart contract, and blah blah blah. And he started to learn. And that's the thing. I mean, I'm not the one who helped him to make that like $2 million, but he's so willing to learn. And he's the age of my father. Like, he's the same age, similar age to my father. So like, people of that age normally typically don't like to learn. I think he's 40, 46, 47, something.
Interesting. Yeah. I heard the story of how Bill Gates met Warren Buffett. And the thing mm-hmm. that surprised Bill Gates the most was that Warren mm-hmm. Buffett, even though he was super old, was asking interesting questions. Warren was like, mm-hmm. "What makes you better than Apple? Why can't Apple compete against you? What is Microsoft? What is a software?" So he was asking these good questions, and hopefully I'll be asking questions until I die. Because I think that's sort of what the most successful people do. I feel like the most successful people don't have an ego where they're willing to ask questions to everyone. And that's something that not many people do at all.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. I mean, you've always been vulnerable in that sense and allow yourself to be put yourself out there. But I think we've hit a good spot in this episode. Is there anything that you'd like to get off your chest before we wrap it up? Like, Curtis, obviously, I appreciate you taking the time out of your day, to be with us today. So thank you so much. I appreciate it. Andy, any things that you'd like to say before we wrap it up?
One, Curtis, really appreciate you coming on. Because I know over the last, I've missed you a lot ever since you've gone back to China, we rarely get like a long chance to just talk. So I wanted to I didn't prepare too much. I was thinking of like a chill conversation, but there was like, I think this episode it's fun. It was like a up and down. It was like a mix of many different topics, and some parts were intense, some parts were just weird. So I think this was a solid episode in general. But yeah, Curtis, please share with everyone where they can hear more about PandaBox, what PandaBox is, a website, socials. Please plug everything.
Okay, so yeah, you soon hear about PandaBox because we already have one like really shitty quality company intro, and we're now asking Andy, and also we hopefully can get someone who can edit really well, and we will be posting our company related materials on Forbes China, Yahoo Finance, and also like all sorts of different press release you will see us in. On the prep stage.
I'll put any links in the description. I'll get Curtis to send me a bunch of links so you can check it out in the description below. But yeah, thanks so much for joining Curtis. Really appreciate having you. Had super amount of fun. That was not grammatically correct, but thank you for coming, Curtis. Peace, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cheers. Take care. Bye-bye.